of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. We are looking at series in the book of Daniel here on Sunday evenings. And it's been a number of weeks since we were together here on Sunday night. But we're continuing on here, going into Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Chapter 4 brings us to the king that we've met before, and that is the king Nebuchadnezzar. And we find him here later on in his reign, and God is trying to speak to him. We see how he does that and the message that God has for him tonight here. So I'm going to begin by reading Daniel chapter 4. I'm going to read a portion of it, beginning in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Here in Daniel chapter 4, we see that God was not done speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that God came into Nebuchadnezzar's life already through Daniel and his friends. And many years had passed by. Some commentators believe that this is about 25 to 30 years after what happened in chapter 3. You remember that was about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar came face to face with God there. He looked into that furnace and he saw the angel of the Lord there, that fourth man in the fire. But it had been some time. And we see here that God still had one lesson to teach to Nebuchadnezzar. You notice, as we read, that lesson is repeated several times in the chapter. Notice again verse 17. We have the purpose of Nebuchadnezzar's dream stated here, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And then he jumped down to verse 25. Where Daniel explains to Nebuchadnezzar that all this was going to happen to him, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. And then we find on in verse 32 of what would happen to Nebuchadnezzar. It says at the end there, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. So that was the point that God had for Nebuchadnezzar. But there was one thing that was in the way of Nebuchadnezzar learning that lesson in his life. What was it? Now, the one thing, his fatal flaw, was his pride. Nebuchadnezzar was consumed with pride. He was a proud man. And that's what we're going to look at here tonight. We need to pay more attention to that sin and be careful that it doesn't take over our own hearts. You know, the scripture has a lot to say about pride and warnings about pride. The book of Proverbs, these 6 things doth the Lord hate, Proverbs 6:16, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. And then in James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The sin of pride is something that is especially bad in God's sight, and God deals with it. He does not tolerate it, and we see how God does that here in this chapter. You know, it was pride that was the fatal flaw of Satan before his fall. We read about that in Isaiah chapter 14. He's called Lucifer there. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. It was pride that was in the heart of the devil when he was a perfect angel that caused his fall. And so it's the sin of pride that we need to take special care that it does not come into our hearts. Tonight, what I'd like for us to do is see a warning that we have here for the proud. That warning is given to Nebuchadnezzar. He's the main character here in chapter 4. But I want you to see the warnings that go along with the sin of pride. We see these manifestations of pride, and we need to guard against those, recognize what they are, and be careful that we do not allow that sin to take hold in our hearts. And then the second thing in this chapter, which we won't get to tonight, is I want you to see God's remedy for pride. And we see that especially in the end of the chapter. And Lord willing, we'll look at that next week. But tonight, I want you to see what God has to say to warn those that are proud. The chapter here starts off with Nebuchadnezzar speaking. That's kind of unusual. Nebuchadnezzar seems to have written a personal testimony here. Several years ago, we did some of the My Story tracks, and if we were in Nebuchadnezzar's day, we would try to get Nebuchadnezzar to write his story tract, okay? And that's what we have here. We have a testimony of Nebuchadnezzar and how God entered into his life and how God changed him. And so in verses 1 through 3, we see that. But then in verse 4, he picks up with the beginning of this testimony. And I want you to notice what he says here in verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. The first warning that I'd like you to see here tonight is that we need to beware of taking credit for prosperity. We need to beware of taking credit for prosperity. This verse tells us something of the conditions that Nebuchadnezzar was enjoying at this time. And he was enjoying prosperity. He says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. So he was experiencing prosperity in his personal life. He says there, at home, things were going well. There were no serious problems that he was having. He was at rest. The idea is free from all fear or apprehension. Maybe things were going well with his children, and he wasn't worried about anything there. He was successful there. And, we have times when we experience those conditions as well, and we could say, hey, things are going well in my house. And we have to be careful when we have times like that, even personally, that we don't take all the credit. We see that Nebuchadnezzar's problem was he was taking the credit for the prosperity in his life, and we'll see that especially as we go along. But we notice that he was also prospering in his public life. Verse 4 says that he was flourishing in his palace. And the idea of the word flourishing here is actually a word that's used, surprisingly, not really surprisingly, of a flourishing tree. All right, imagine that. And that's exactly the image that God uses to picture what was going on there with Nebuchadnezzar. But things were going well at home. Things were going well at work for Nebuchadnezzar. And yet, it was exactly at that time when God's warning comes into his life. Because what was Nebuchadnezzar doing? He was taking all the credit for that prosperity in his life. I want you to jump ahead here to verse 30, which we didn't read. But after this warning that God gave to him, just a year later, we read these words. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Nebuchadnezzar was taking the credit for the prosperity that God had given him in his life. Someday, I would like to visit Chicago. I've been to Chicago before, but I found out about a museum that I'd like to visit, which is called the Oriental Institute Museum, which is run by the University of Chicago. And probably what would happen if I try to take my family there, they would say, oh, no, that's so boring. We want to go somewhere else, but I think it'd be really interesting to go to the Oriental Institute Museum at the University of Chicago. And that's because they have exhibits on the period of time in which Nebuchadnezzar ruled here. And there you can catch a glimpse of the greatness of the Babylonian Empire. There are some of the artifacts from Nebuchadnezzar's time period there. And we know about some of the architecture of Babylon. And right in the center of the city, there was a processional way, 70 foot wide, that was walled in on both sides with brick enamel. And on those walls were pictures of lions and dragons and bulls in enamel brick. And if you go to that museum in Chicago, you can see a replica, actually, of one of those lions that's there in that gate on that processional way. But we know about the splendor there of Babylon. We know about the seven-story ziggurat that Nebuchadnezzar built. We know about the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. We know about the hanging gardens that Nebuchadnezzar built for his wife, so she could feel like she was at home in the mountains where she grew up. And he built this, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, had these gardens built. And this was the prosperity of Nebuchadnezzar. And here we see that God actually had prospered him, but what was his problem? He was the one who was taking the credit for it. And we need to be careful that when God allows us to have prosperity, that we give him the credit for it. You know, we say, you know, look at me, look at how well things are going at my home. Boy, I think I should write a book on you know, how to have a great home and you know, publish that. Or you know, things are going so well at work. You know, I have such great ability. And look at how well my bank account is doing. Wow, you know, I'm so great. Now, wait a minute. We're taking all the credit for ourselves. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. That's why God came to him and warned him here. Beware of taking credit for prosperity. I want you to notice the second warning here that we can see. Nebuchadnezzar tells us about the dream that he had. And we're not surprised about what he does, because we read about the dream that he had in chapter 2. And he did the same thing when he wasn't sure about his dream. He called his wise men together, and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers and magicians. And remember what happened back then. What did they do for him? Absolutely nothing. They showed that they were frauds and fakes. They couldn't even help him. They claimed to have touch with the world of the gods, and remember, they couldn't even communicate with the gods and give him the help that he needed. But it was Daniel who was able to do it, because Daniel, of course, knew the one true God. And so Nebuchadnezzar does the same thing. Why he does that, we don't know. It seems like he should have learned. But, you know, maybe the magicians were encouraging to him usually. He wanted to hear a good word, and so he called up his magicians. Come and talk to me, and, you know, tell me what I need to know. And so maybe he favored them a little bit more. But what do we see him doing here? I believe that we see another warning here in Nebuchadnezzar's life. We need to beware of taking credit for prosperity. And then the second warning, we need to beware of acting independently. Beware of acting independently. And you might say, well, wait a minute, I thought of acting independently was a good thing, you know. Someday I hope my children are able to do a lot of things that I have to help them with now on their own. And that's good, right? Well, yeah, it is. But we see what Nebuchadnezzar was doing when he was acting independently. It was a source of danger for him. It was a manifestation of his pride. And we see that he was acting independently from the truth, from the source of truth. See, what he does when he has this dream, he's not sure what to do about it, he goes to the magicians. He goes to people that, you know, really he should have known better by now, don't have the answers. He acts independently of the truth. He should have gone first to Daniel, whom he had already learned had the truth. And, you know, we can do that same thing sometimes. We know basically what we want to hear, and so we go to some sources that we know, okay, I think I'll get the answer I want to get from that source. And God forbid I should ask my pastor about it. All he's going to do is give me some Bible verses, right? And or go to my mom and dad. Or why would I ask them? I know what they're going to say. And we act independently from sources of truth that we should know better. We should know better to go to first. We operate foolishly in that way. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing here. But finally, he does go to Daniel, and Daniel is able to help him. And Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that. But I want you to notice what Daniel says to him in verse 17. This is actually what Nebuchadnezzar sees in this dream. God is speaking this to him. This lesson that he needs to know, verse 17, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. God was pointing out a problem in Nebuchadnezzar's life, another area in which he was acting independently. He was acting independently from the ultimate authority. He needed to recognize that God was the one who had set up Nebuchadnezzar in his throne. God was the ultimate authority. God is the sovereign over all human governments. That's what Nebuchadnezzar needed to recognize here. You know, if you watch the news or read the news here lately, everybody's pointing fingers about who is at fault. It was the Russians. They were behind the hacking. It was the hacking that led to the election going to Donald Trump. And trying to figure out why Donald Trump got elected. Right? Let me tell you why Donald Trump got elected. It's because God allowed him to be elected. And that doesn't mean that God agrees with everything that Donald Trump is or everything that Nebuchadnezzar is, for that matter. But Nebuchadnezzar himself needed to recognize the truth that everybody in our country needs to recognize. And that's stated for us here very clearly in verse 17. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. All the presidents and the kings of the world need to come and understand that truth, that God gives them their kingdom, and yet they act independently from that ultimate authority. Beware of taking credit for prosperity. Beware of acting independently. And then a final warning here I want you to see in what God has to say to Nebuchadnezzar and how Daniel responds to that. That is, we need to beware of ignoring God's word. You know, a sign of pride in our lives is that we ignore the word of God. We think what we're doing is better. It's a sign of pride in our lives that we ignore the word of God, that we act independently, that we take credit for prosperity. Isn't it amazing that God came and spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler over the greatest kingdom of the known world at that time? God came and spoke to him in a dream. And for Nebuchadnezzar, that dream was the Bible for him. It was a revelation. It was God speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, just as God speaks to us in the Bible. God was speaking to him. And I want you to notice here, what that message meant for Nebuchadnezzar. That message for us and for Nebuchadnezzar may be difficult at times. Now notice how Daniel responds here in verse 19. It says, "Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee." Daniel knew what the interpretation was, and for whatever reason, he was not excited about telling the king what it was. Why was that? Because it was bad news. It was bad news for Nebuchadnezzar. And perhaps Daniel, having served in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, developed a relationship with him, developed a respect of Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe he didn't want to see him deposed and you know, gone into that state of insanity that he was going to go into. And so Daniel's a little bit scared to give this message. The message of God's word may be difficult. And that's one of the reasons why we may be tempted to ignore it. It's difficult. We don't like that. And, the opposite of that is being in Daniel's position. Sometimes the message that we have to give to somebody else is difficult. And that's been the case for many, many years. I think of the prophet Samuel, when he was just a young boy there, staying with Eli. Remember, God speaks to him, and he thinks it's Eli. Eli sends him back, and you say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But what did God have to say to Samuel? Well, it was something hard for Eli and his family. And on it goes. Nathan, the prophet, has to come to David and has to say, "David, you are a sinner. Thou art the man, David." Was that very easy for Nathan? I would imagine it would not be. I think of John the Baptist there as he comes before the king in his day, King Herod, and he speaks against the evils of King Herod and his marriage. Remember what happened to John the Baptist? Off with his head. You know, God's message may be difficult, and we need to be careful that we do not ignore it and that we do not shrink back from speaking what God has to say. There's a story about one of the hymns in our hymnal. There was a gathering of Christian people on one occasion, and a singer who was singing to those people, and in the audience there was a preacher. And after that concert, the preacher met the singer afterwards, and he said to her, "You know, your singing is wonderful, and you know, I would love to hear that again, but I want you to know that it would be much better for you to take those talents that you have and surrender them to Jesus Christ, and I want you to know that you're a sinner. And but if you'll confess those sins to the Lord, Jesus Christ will save you. He will cleanse you, and you can be the Lord's." Well, that singer didn't want to hear anything about that. And she lashed out at him, and they went their separate ways. But later on, that singer came to know the Lord. And later on, she appreciated that confrontation with that preacher. And she expressed the truth, I think, that she felt in her heart when she wrote the hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And the name of that singer, I forget her name now, it was Charlotte Elliott. But it was because somebody took the time and had the courage enough to tell her that she was a sinner. And God used that in her life. We need to be careful that we do not shrink back from giving the message that we have because it might be difficult for somebody. So Daniel warns the king of what this is going to mean, that God will discipline the king if he does not turn from his pride, and God will remove him from his position. God will send this mental illness or whatever it was. He thinks he's an animal, and he's out for 7 years. The most powerful king in the earth. He's in a field somewhere eating grass, totally unable to operate as king. the message of God's word. Be careful, beware of ignoring God's word. But then I want you to notice another characteristic of God's word here. Verse 27, Daniel's words to the king. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Here we see the fact that the message of God's word is also merciful. God had a message for Nebuchadnezzar, and God had something that he wanted to see done in Nebuchadnezzar's heart, a lesson that he wanted him to learn. And we see here that God gave him some time to turn from his sins, to turn from his pride. God takes the time to warn people, even leaders in human government, of the need that they have before the Lord. And Daniel here tells the king that there could be a way to avoid that discipline. And he tells him, instead of mistreating people to build up his projects, it seems that Nebuchadnezzar was a builder. And he says later on, look at this city that I have built. And perhaps Nebuchadnezzar was mistreating people in these great massive building projects that he had to get things done. And Daniel tells him, stop doing that. Stop this manifestation of your pride. Show mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And so later on, we're told that it was 12 months later before God disciplined the king. 12 months, a full year, God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. And so we see that the message of God's word is also a merciful message. God is a merciful God. God is a patient God. And he gives us time to repent of our sins, even our pride. God is patient with him, and he is patient with us. And we need to beware of ignoring the word of God, as Nebuchadnezzar did. We need to beware of acting independently from the truth. We need to beware of taking credit for prosperity in our lives. The sin of pride can be so subtle. Nebuchadnezzar is near the end of his reign, and yet we see that he's full of pride. He's full of himself, and God wants to show him the error of his ways. We need to ask the Lord tonight to show us our pride and to humble us. And we have these warnings here in God's word to help us and to make us aware of the areas in which we can be proud and we can be self-centered apart from God. We need to be humble before the Lord. God gives us this warning here tonight. And Lord willing, next week we'll look at the remainder of the chapter and we see the remedy for pride. We see the warning here. We need to take note of that, but we'll see as God deals with Nebuchadnezzar, the remedy that God gave to him. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for exposing this sin here of Nebuchadnezzar. And we recognize, Lord, that our own tendency is the same. We are made of the same material as Nebuchadnezzar. And it is our tendency to be filled with ourselves, even taking the credit for the prosperity that you've given in our lives. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to recognize and be careful of the sin of pride. Oh Lord, we thank you for the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you that even though we are proud and full of ourselves, that you came and you loved us and you humbled yourself and died upon the cross. And Lord, we pray that each of us would confess our sin to you and turn from it and put our trust in our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnal.